Afternoon, everyone. That's a cool verse. I know we've been talking a lot about spiritual warfare. Let me just turn this on, I know we've been talking a lot about spiritual warfare, and this verse says that Christ created everything that is seen and not seen, right? And so we'll get into that a little bit more later on to understand fully what that means. But for today, I wanted us to get a full understanding of this verse, and there's one particular part that we're going to focus on. Okay, but as always, before we get into the Word of God, I'm going to ask you to just come before God reverently to focus on Him, because He is worthy of our attention right now. He is worthy of our praise, and we want to make sure that we are giving Him our very best. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask you to join me in praying before we get into the Word of God. Father, we come here today, and we are in the midst of an awesome, holy, sovereign God. And we recognize right now, God, that without You, we are not even alive. We are not breathing. There is no breath in our lungs if it is not for You. That is Your love and Your grace that has been extended towards us. And Holy Spirit, I ask right now that as we hear Your word, that Your word would come alive in our hearts. Your word is alive. It is powerful. The Bible says it has the ability to cut sharper than a two-edged sword. So I ask that Your word would expose all of the lies and the wrong thinking in our life, and that it would help us to live rightly before You, God, with a right understanding and a right way of thinking about who we are as Your children. And God, I just pray right now that You would anoint my lips. I pray that no recognition or praise would come to me, but God, You would receive all the glory. And so I am merely Your vessel, Your spokesperson, and I just ask that You would use me to share whatever You want to be shared in love and in truth. In Your name we pray. Amen. So we have been on a journey for probably the last 7 months. As a church, we have been focusing on building a strong foundation with a biblical worldview. And I know that as I have been teaching on certain things and Holy Spirit has been revealing new things to us, that some of the things that we have been learning may have been different from what we were accustomed to, from what we grew up understanding. And that's okay, because the point of actually getting into the Bible and seeing what Jesus said about how we should be living as Christians is that sometimes it is going to expose wrong thinking in our life. It's going to redefine certain things in our life about how we should be living as Christians. And for those of us where Holy Spirit is genuinely working, there is going to be conviction in our hearts to think about our life, to examine our life, and to see how we've been living. And then when we come face to face with the Word of God and there is conviction, to then do something about it, to change our lives and to change how we're living so that we are now living in a way that will please God. We've been learning how to allow truth and allow the Word of God to dictate how we live as Christians. And the thing about the Word of God, and we will see it all throughout the Bible, and this is just the very nature of who God is, that throughout the Bible, God is very loving. He is full of grace. And all of His messaging is always filled with love. But there's two types of messages that God gives throughout the scripture. One is always a message of love and encouragement, and the other is a message of warning. And whether that was to the Israelites or to the Christian church, these two messages always existed. One of love and encouragement, and one of warning. Where God will say, you are my children, I love you, continue to live this way. And he will give some messages of warning where he's saying, you need to start to live this way. That as Christians, for some of us, we need to wake up. We need to get serious about our faith. We need to get serious about our relationship with God. This is the truth of God's word. And last week, I shared about who we are as Christians. And we've been on this series of understanding our identity in Christ. Okay? And I shared an acronym of SAS. Okay? And does anybody remember what these three words stand for? If you do remember, amazing. You have a really good memory. Does anybody even know one of these words, what they stand for? I left it with you last week to remember your identity in Christ. And we talked about it. This is something that you should always remember about who you are. But what I shared last week is that as Christians, we are significant. Okay, we will not find our purpose or our significance in anywhere else other than God and who he says we are. Okay, people might try to search in the world for their significance. They might try to search in their careers or in their family or wherever else for their significance. But according to the Bible, we are significant in God. We have been created to be in relationship with him, and we find our ultimate purpose and joy in him. Okay, we are accepted. The A stands for accepted. We have been accepted. We have been adopted into a family of God, the Bible says. So even when others may not accept us for who we are as Christians, God always accepts us. No matter what our shortcomings are or our weaknesses or even our past sin, we are accepted by God. And the S stood for, the other S stood for secure, that we are secure in God. Okay, there is no other place where we can find true security other than in God. We have a priceless inheritance with God. We are secure. We have a hope. We have a future as Christians. So we are significant, we are accepted, and we are secure. Okay? So last time I shared that I wanted us to understand three truths about who we are in Christ. And I share this as truth number one, is that you are loved and chosen. The Bible says that if we are here today and we have put our faith in Jesus and we have understood what it means to follow him, meaning that it is not about us, but it is about him. It is about denying ourselves. It is about following Christ and becoming a true disciple. Is that even before God created the world, the Bible says that we were on his mind, that we have been chosen by him to come into his family, and that we are loved by God. And we understood, at least for me, in my limited experience of 20 years as a pastor, this is one of the truths that for most Christians, it's the hardest for them to believe. That they are loved and they are chosen by God. Because they focus more on their sin and how they've messed up and the wrong things that they have done, that they forget what their real identity is. That we have been loved, we have been chosen by God. And there is a lot of insecurity, shame, guilt that we struggle with. But God wants to remind us that despite all of those things, we have been chosen and we are loved by Him. This is truth number two. And I'm praying, I've been praying that Holy Spirit would really help us to understand this. Truth number two is that you are seen without fault. Okay? That as God looks at you right now and as He looks at me right now, you are seen without fault. And we're going to unpack this a little bit. Let's look at this scripture, Ephesians 1, 6 to 8. It says, "So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding." Okay, I'm going to read the underlined part again. "He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins." Okay? We sing about this. We talk about it as Christians. This is the essence of why we do communion. But we really need to understand this truth, that Christ has purchased our freedom with His blood. Let's look at the scripture from today. Colossians 1:22 says, "Yet now He has reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body. As a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault." Okay? We stand before God right now without a single fault. You may think, well, Pastor, how can that be? Maybe this past week He said, "I lied," or "I got easily angered," or "I was proud," or "I'm holding on to unforgiveness," or whatever the case may be. Whatever our secret sin is that nobody else knows about, but God knows about it. You say, well, how can I be standing before God and He sees me without a single fault? And He doesn't see my sin or my shortcomings or my shame. One thing we need to understand, if we're going to understand this truth, that we are seen without fault, is that there is an old system of how sin was dealt with. In the Old Testament, anytime they would deal with sin, is they would bring the blood of animals. They would bring a goat, they would bring a lamb, and they would sacrifice that animal. And the shedding of that blood was then offered to God as a sacrifice for the atonement of the people's sin. That is an old system. That is an old way of dealing with sin. But if we've read through the New Testament, we understand that the Bible says Christ, Jesus, was a sacrifice once and for all. There is no longer the need to shed any blood of animals, but the blood of the Son of God, the Messiah, was shed once and for all for the sins of people, past, present, and future. So we need to understand that this system that was old, Christ completely abolished it by dying on the cross. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, our freedom has been purchased. And so you may ask, okay, well, when God is looking at you right now, does God see your sin or how you mess up? God knows about your sin, but God does not actually see your sin. When you mess up, what God actually sees, according to the Bible, is the blood of His Son that purchased our freedom. the blood of his son, Jesus, that was sacrificed to cover over all our sin and shame. Now, what we need to understand here is that God sees us without a single fault. Now, is that a license to just go and live however we want to? No. Okay, the grace of God, the goodness of God, the love of God, it's not an invitation to live however we want to. But if we fully understand the grace of God and the gift that God has given to us, that it's not something we ever could have earned. There's nothing that we could have done to receive the love and the grace that God has poured out on us. If we truly understand that grace, it's going to lead to a life of repentance and obedience. Okay, most Christians who are just living casually for themselves, I would submit to you, has not fully understood the grace of God. Because grace does not lead to just living a lifestyle for yourself. The grace of God leads us to living a life that is repentant and full of obedience towards God. This one guy, Tim Mackey, if you've ever watched the Bible Project, he's the author of the Bible Project. He said this, the gift of grace is unconditioned, but it is not unconditional. Meaning, the gift of grace, there is no condition to receive the gift of grace. It is a free gift from God. But when we have received the free gift of God, what it means now is that should lead us to a life of obedience, a life of denying ourselves, a life of submitting to Christ, a life where we are pursuing what Christ wants for us as the forefront and as the priority of our life. So here is the truth. God does not think of us as sinners, but he thinks of us as his children. I would almost guarantee that there are still some of us in this room who are thinking with a sinner mentality, where you say to yourself or you say to others, well, I'm just nothing more than just a sinner in need of God's grace. If you've ever thought that about yourself now as a Christian, where you still think of yourself as a sinner in need of God's grace, it's actually wrong thinking according to the Bible and how we should be thinking as Christians. It's a false humility. It's not actual humility if you think of yourself as a sinner in need of God's grace. God does not even think of us as sinners, but he thinks of us as his sons and as his daughters. And when we talk about this sinner mentality, well, there are some key indicators of this sinner mentality versus having a saved mentality, where you are actually thinking like a child of God. When someone has this sinner mentality, they focus on their sin and shortcomings and does not truly understand their identity and freedom in Christ. They don't fully understand that Christ has dealt with sin. Christ has purchased our freedom. We are free in Christ, and we need to choose to live in that freedom every day. This is the mentality of a sinner. They constantly feel they are in need of God's forgiveness and grace. And they try their best to earn God's love by works and tasks. It's a very destructive cycle. But anyone with a sinner mentality will sin, then they think bad about themselves, they think shameful things, they feel guilty, so then they say, okay, well, I need God's forgiveness, which is true, but what they actually need is to repent and change how they're living and change their behavior, and then they try to earn God's love again by maybe serving God in different tasks or working to earn his love again. This is completely wrong thinking and a wrong mentality to have. And the Bible describes it as a sinner mentality, which is not from God. But if we have a saved mentality, where we actually think that we are a son or we are a daughter of God, we are a child of God, well, this is how we will think. It focuses on the finished work of Jesus and what he accomplished on the cross. You have to notice the difference there, right? On one side, what's the focus? On you, your sin, what you did wrong. On the other side, what's the focus? On Christ and what he did for you and where he overcame sin and where he overcame all of our shortcomings, all of our weaknesses. The attention is off of you and the attention is where it should be, on Christ and what he accomplished. Thinking as children, it also realizes our need for God, that we needed God and we received his grace by faith in Jesus. There's nothing that we could have done. What a very humbling feeling and position to have. That God in his love poured out his grace on us, and there's nothing we could have done to earn that. A child is secure in the understanding that they are a new creation, a child of God, and serves him out of a genuine love and obedience. Okay, if we are children of God and we have fully understood our identity in Christ, it is actually a joy to serve Jesus. It is a joy to serve God out of a genuine love and desire to obey him. But for Christians who struggle to live authentically for Christ, most likely they have not genuinely been transformed. There has been no new birth. There has been no born again experience or transformation in their heart where they actually desire to love God and serve God and obey God because they love him as a son and as a daughter. And so this brings us to this conclusion where we have to think about our own life. The scripture challenges us to examine our life. Are we living with a sinner mentality or are we living with a child mentality? Listen to these two statements. Okay, there is a huge difference between thinking I am a sinner, right? That you identify yourself as a sinner versus thinking to yourself, I am a child of God who at times gives into sin, right? There's a big difference there. Okay, we are no longer sinners according to God. But if you are still identifying yourself as a sinner in need of God's grace, then you haven't fully understood God's grace. But if you understand that you are a child of God who at times may give in to sin, then the identity is right. You are a child who maybe sometimes gets it wrong, just like how I sometimes get it wrong. But it doesn't change my identity. It doesn't change how God sees me. It doesn't change how God views me. But if I think that I'm just a sinner always in need of God's grace, then you will always live that way. If the mentality and the identity doesn't change, then the lifestyle and how we live for Christ is not going to change. So we have to think about how we even view ourselves. Take a minute. Think about that for a minute. How do you view yourself right now? What is your self-worth like? How do you value yourself? Is it the same that God values you and how Christ values you? How do you view yourself right now? Have you been struggling with this sinner mentality, or do you authentically and genuinely know without a shadow of a doubt that you are a child of God and that you are loved, you are chosen, and right now, God is not even thinking or looking at your sin. But if you have messed up in any way, he looks and he sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that dealt with all of the sin and the shame in our life. The Bible talks about how God remembers our sin no more. When at times we do give in to temptation and sin, we simply just need to repent and move on. I'll say that again. When we know that we've messed up and we've done something that doesn't please God, and usually there's a conviction, right? Because we don't feel good about it. People who are living intentionally in sin, they don't feel bad about it. They actually enjoy their sinful lifestyle. And they enjoy living intentionally in sin. Meaning that God's supernatural presence hasn't come into their life yet and revealed to them the nature of their sin and their need for God, their need for grace, their need for salvation. But as Christians, when we mess up and we do something and we feel convicted and we feel that we've messed up, all God calls us to is just simply repent, which is not just say sorry for the sin. Recognize what you've done and with Holy Spirit's help, change the behavior. Change how you speak. Change how you think. Change how you live. Put away the things of the old nature. Put away the sins of the past and work to live the pure, blameless, and holy life that God has called us to. God just wants us to simply repent and move on. But you know what sometimes the enemy does to us? He gets us thinking about our sin for days and for weeks. We get caught up in the guilt and the shame. And we remember our sin, sometimes more than God actually does. We get caught up in our sin more than God does. Listen to these powerful verses. Hebrews 8:12 says, "For I," this is God speaking, "will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Psalms 103:12 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." These are simple truths, but powerful truths if we believe them by faith. Is that God is not necessarily looking to judge the world. The Bible says that he desires that all people would repent and come into the revelation and the knowledge of who he is and be saved. God is not desiring to judge, but he will judge because he needs to honor his word. But if we understand these truths, God is not looking to remember our sin or think or dwell upon our sin. As Christians, we actually sometimes think about our sin more than God does. God is saying, "I will forgive their sin and remember it no more." He has removed it. It's done. It's dealt with. We have to understand this as a part of our identity. Okay, so before I conclude, okay, truth number two is you today are seen without fault. Okay, allow that truth to just free you from any guilt, any shame, any condemnation, any lying voices that tell you you need to feel guilty about your sin this past week or how you messed up. Christ has purchased our freedom. And God in heaven, when he looks down on us, he doesn't see our sin. He's not waiting and pointing and saying, "Ha ha, you messed up again." But he actually sees the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, that covered every sin once and for all, past, present, and future. And sin has been dealt with. Christ remembers it no more. He's not looking to get us caught up in a sinner mentality. He simply wants us to live as his children. And it is not an invitation to live how we want, but if we understand God's amazing grace and love for us, it will do something in our heart where it causes us to be thankful and full of gratitude and live in obedience to God. Because we could have been dead in our sin, but by God's grace, he saved us and he renewed us and he restored us. Okay, so we need to understand that truth. Now to conclude, here is the thing that we need to understand. That on judgment day, when we stand before God in judgment, God is not going to judge us as Christians on our sin. That may be a shocking reality to some of us. Okay? God is not going to judge us on our sin. To say how many times we messed up and how many times we got it right. That is not what God is going to be judging us on judgment day. Okay, sin has been dealt with as we learn through Jesus and the blood of Christ. But when we stand before God on judgment day, what God is going to judge us on as Christians is our faithfulness to his word and to his commands. God is going to judge us on our obedience. Okay? He is not going to judge us on our sin. Okay? God is already going to know who are his children and who are not his children. Okay? And the Bible is very clear. Children of God are going to be judged on faithfulness. Not children of God, they will be judged on their unbelief. And according to the Bible, that judgment ends up where the children of God will be entered into heaven once they are judged on their faithfulness. But those who are not children of God will be eternally separated from God in hell. Okay? And that is a sad reality, but it is a true reality according to the Bible. And we're not trying to push that truth aside, but it should spur us on as Christians to tell those who do not know God about this amazing grace of God and the love of God. But for us as Christians, God is going to judge us on our faithfulness. How have we been faithful with the commands and teachings of Jesus Christ? How have we been faithful with the mission of Jesus Christ? How have we been faithful with the Great Commission? And this is why when I teach, it's like, hey, you know what? As a Christian, the fullness of what that means is not just to come to church on Sunday. But you need to be on a journey of growing to become a disciple of Christ, where you are looking to be a teacher, where you are looking to disciple someone, because God is going to judge us on if we have been making disciples or not making disciples, if we have been teaching the word of God to others or not teaching the word of God to others. Have we been authentic in our relationship with God? And studying his word and taking that seriously and taking time to know the Bible inside and out. These are the things that God is going to judge us on. And it's going to be a simple question. Did you love me? That's what God is going to want to know. That if we genuinely loved him, then the fruit of our life is going to be evident in how we have pursued the things of Christ and stayed faithful to the commands of Jesus Christ. It's not going to be that complicated on Judgment Day. It's not going to be about sin for us as Christians, but it's going to be about faithfulness and obedience. And I think God's heart in this is that it would cause some of us to understand, again, that His grace is not meant to lead us to a lifestyle where we just do whatever we want. But it is a warning and an encouragement to get serious about our faith, to get serious about our relationship with God. Okay, we're coming to the end of 2025. For myself personally, that's always a good time to reflect on what this year has looked like. And for me, I always think, okay, if I take a look at 2025, there should be areas of my life where I've grown compared to 2024. There should be areas of my desires and areas of my passion for God that have grown. We've already talked about this. It's what the Bible calls spiritual maturity. But I encourage you, take a look at your life throughout 2025. Have you been committed to God? Have you been faithful to God? Have you been obedient to God? Even with all of the things that you've learned throughout this year, whether from reading your Bible on your own or listening to a sermon, how have you grown throughout this year? Or has everything just kind of been the same throughout 2025? Just kind of stagnant, just kind of the same desires, the same passion, or maybe not much passion. Whatever it is, God wants us to take time to think about our life. And He is encouraging us. He's warning us, get serious about our faith. Because Christ is coming. We will stand before Him one day. We will be judged on our faithfulness and our obedience to Him. Okay, and it's not a matter of getting into heaven or not. Okay, that's not what God is talking about. It's not a matter of salvation. Okay, if we have faith in Christ, we have been saved, we have been redeemed, our inheritance is in heaven. But what it is a matter of when we stand before God and He judges us on our faithfulness and our obedience is we're going to get to see our life in a very honest view and see if we wasted our lives or if we could have actually used our lives greater to the service of Christ. And so we all need to take time to examine our life and to see if we need to get serious. Okay? And so to leave us with this truth today, let's remember SAS, okay? Not in a negative way. Significant, accepted, and secure. Let's remember that today we are seen without fault. God is not looking at our sin. God remembers our sin no more. When He looks at us as His children, He sees the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, that has covered over all our sin. Now what He wants us to do is now go live as His children. Go live as His sons and as His daughters, understanding your identity in Christ, understanding who you are, and understanding that we've been called to be faithful. And if Holy Spirit has worked a genuine love in our heart for God, then there will be authentic obedience in our life. And I pray that for each of us. I pray that we would experience God's grace in a real way where it leads to authentic fruit and authentic obedience. But it starts with thinking about yourself in the way that God thinks about you. We are no longer sinners in need of God's grace, but we are His children. Who at times we may mess up. Yes, that's true for all of us. But it doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change your identity. And it doesn't change that you are a child of God. And that you are significant to Him. You are secure in Him. You are accepted by Him. You are loved. You are chosen. You are seen without fault. And what we will learn next time that I preach is that we have a priceless inheritance, that no one, nothing is going to be able to take it away. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word that is loving and it reminds us of who we are. But God, Your word also warns us that as Your children, You want us to get serious about our reverence, about our obedience, about our faithfulness to You. God, I just pray right now that for each and every single one of us, we would have a genuine understanding of Your love and Your grace for us. That where we have struggled with this type of thinking as a sinner or having a sinner mentality, by the power of Your Holy Spirit, I just pray that You would help us to understand who we are in Jesus and to see ourselves the same way that You see us, God. That we are loved and chosen by You and that we are Your children. I pray that having a right identity about who we are will cause us to live in a right way that pleases You and honors You, God. Father, I just pray that You would help us to continue to grow as a church and to grow as Your sons and as Your daughters. To get serious about our faith, to get serious about the mission of Christ, to get serious about our own spiritual growth and development. Because God, we know that there is only a real reality that is going to be taking place soon. Where Your word says every knee will bow before You on judgment day. And God, You will judge this entire world. And Father, we, as Your children, we want to be serious about Your mission because we believe that there are still some that You want to adopt into Your family. That You are not slow in keeping Your promise of sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth. But You want people to come into that place of repentance. You want people to be saved. So I pray that as Your church, we would get serious about that mission. And that we would continue to be faithful with all of the different areas that You have called us to be faithful to. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that nothing would shake or move or change the fact and the truth that we are secure, we are significant, and we are accepted in Christ. May that identity and may those truths, God, just become such a reality in our life that even if we mess up this week, or in our minds we do the worst thing that can ever be done, it doesn't change Your love for us, God. It doesn't change how You view us. And it doesn't change that we are Your sons and we are Your daughters. We are Your children. And You love us very much. And we just thank You for that truth. And we thank You for that reality. In Your name we pray. Amen.